that the honorable members and the delegation from the department in particular, let's welcome Professor Nyokong here with us. I'll first start by announcing some few apologies that we have in the committee. Our whip of the committee as a political engagement in Eastern Cape. She's a member of a provincial executive committee there, so they've got a very special meeting. And we've got some members also who are, one of our members, I think she serves in the forum, Killian, Honorable Killian. She's in the host meeting. She will be joining us. Yeah. Okay, and then we've got we've got another member, Mr. Smith, who is also attending another special committee, cooperative governance. I think he won't be able to join us today. That's about it. The apologies that I have. Oh, I understand. That's a nice one. I understand another member, Honorable Mlau, is getting married next week, so she's preparing for her big day. So that's about the apologies that we have. Without wasting time, I think we have got two sessions today. One, an input from Professor Nyokong. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Yeah, okay. And then we also have then our business of the day with the NRF report. Our normal procedure would be to introduce ourselves to you, and you introduce yourselves to us. I don't know who is delegating. I'm sure it should be. Oh, the chair of the board. So we didn't even know that we have this in the chair of the board, which is very important. So we'll therefore ask the chair of the board also to introduce her delegation. I'll start for myself here at the chair seat. I'm Ngabangobo. Those who do not understand what Ngaba means, I usually like to explain. It's a very rich name in Zulu. It means mystery. It also means fort. It also means castle. So I know they say that Homona asks, which of these did you mean? They said mystery. You were a mysterious child when you were small. So I'm mystery. Those who can't pronounce me up. So then we have my secretary of the committee, Shanaz Isaacs, and the assistant there. I think Shanaz will introduce the assistant. I'm not familiar with him. Who? Aluto. Okay. I'll continue with my members. Yeah. Introduce yourselves, members.
I'm Mama Juana Nyamu, originally from Limpopo, representing the ANC.
Good morning, my name is Doris Nguyen from Gauteng, declared by the ANC.
Good morning, my name is Langalake Mkhize.
Good morning, I'm Marion Shin from the DA.
Thank you very much, members. I'll give one to NRF to introduce the delegation.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Belinda Gazzoli. I'm the Chair of the NRF Board. Thank you very much for inviting us to this presentation. We look forward to it. I'd like to introduce Professor Nyokong, who, as you know, is a professor at Rhodes University and also a member of our board, and one of South Africa's most outstanding scientists. So we're really pleased that she's been able to find the time to come. Dr. Albert van Jaarsveld, who is the CEO of the NRF, Dr. Dr.
Actual.
Real world CEO. We are one of the few entities that actually has a CEO. Dr. Gatsha Mazikilele, who's the Vice President for National Facility and Infrastructure. Master Mark, who is the NRF Chief Administrator. And Vishen Singh, who is the Group Executive for Finance and Business Systems. I'm sounding very bad. I don't know what all their titles are. They will be promoted recently, that's why. Dr. Robin Vernon, Executive Director, Governance. And Mr. Patrick Thompson, Group Executive, HR and Stakeholder Relations. So that's our group.
Thank you very much. I think I must have my spectacles. I don't see very well sometimes. Maybe it should be fasting. I can see what is sure that I don't want to strain my eyes. Now that I can see, I can see very well, I can read even from there. Actually, the more it's far as I can read, as far as it's too close and I can't read. Yeah. Right. Again, on behalf of our Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology, we are very, very thankful for accepting our invitation at short notice. We saw that it was useful as the engine of science and technology here in South Africa to recognize their works. Unfortunately, when we came to Rhodes University, I think it was 3 years ago, 2006, you were not around, were you? Oh, because I remember I spent a lot of time with a student. Actually, that was the biggest time that I've ever spent with academics. We spent about the whole day almost at Rhodes University. And we're very happy to, you know, to get the input directly from students. And students, actually, they were very happy for what we did. I don't know how, when we will next do such a trip, even for other universities, you see. We had a 3-hour interaction with the postgraduate community of students there from 2 to 5. And, you know, students told us a lot of things that we ought to have looked into. And indeed we did. We've made a lot of recommendations to the department. And I think in future we will have to do some of these kinds of oversight tours even to others. And they are very, very rewarding. It's unfortunate that some of the things were not able to, you know, because of lack of resources, were unable to return there and check some of the things that have happened, which the student had requested. But we found a lot of students there who complained that when they finish training, they do not get deployed. And indeed, that is we did present that case to the department, because indeed, and then I know the department started some programs relating to how to really keep the students busy when they finish, you know. I think there are some programs relating to that already. It emanated from that visit that we had. But without wasting time, if just for the short information to members, let me just give a brief, I asked for a brief biography from a professor, so that at least we members must know who you are, what exactly you've done. This is a very brief, you see. Currently, the Department of Science and Technology, NRF, researcher, professor of medicinal chemistry and nanotechnology, and director of the DST Mini Nanotechnology Innovation Center, NIC, Census. She's also adjunct professor of chemistry at the University of Trom, Troms in Norway. Project involves developing small gadgets with probes that can be used to test blood, among other fluids, for possible diseases. Our work deals with cancer research with a focus on photodynamic therapy, which is an alternative to chemotherapy. She has extensive experience of PhD and MSc supervision. She is recognized by the National Research Foundation as one of the top three publishing scientists in South Africa. She has received numerous awards, including the awarded NRF President's Award as Champion for the Transformation in Research 2009, awarded 2009-10 CEO celebrating excellence in organizations, most influential women in business and government, education and teaching sector. Received the L'Oréal UNESCO Award for Women in Science as a laureate representing Africa and the Arab States in 2009. Committee chaired by Professor A. Zawali, recipient of Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1999. Also in the committee, C. Duvet, recipient of Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1974. Awarded City Press Reports Prestige Awards for Inspirational Women Achievers 2008, author of Mapungubwe was bestowed on her by the former state president Mbeki for her contribution to science in 2005, and she is a winner of the SABC 2 Shoprite Checkers Women of the Year in Science and Technology 2004. That's a very brief about Professor Nyoko, who is this morning with us. Without wasting time, I will therefore give you to address the committee, Professor.
Okay. I would like to thank, if possible, so people can see me. You can start with a video, but don't play it, just leave it behind. What I decided to do was to show you a video. This video is the one... If you just keep it, stop it for a while. Okay. When I received in March this year the L'Oréal UNESCO Award, this is the video from then. I chose this one in particular because it actually celebrates South African science. The people who are in the committee were Nobel Prize winners, and I mean the chairman is a Nobel Prize and some of the committee members. And this award has been going on now for 11 years. This was the 11th year of the award. They have five continents they deal with: Africa and the Arab States, Europe, North and South America, and Asia. And for Africa and the Arab States, this was the third time that South Africa received this award, but the last two have been in the biological sciences. This was actually the first time that South Africa received this award in the physical sciences. So it's something to be proud of. And also, actually, it was the first time that the Africa Arab States received it at all in the physical sciences, always being the biological sciences. And it's always been mainly the Arab part of the world that received this award. So I think, as South Africa, we have something to be proud of about this award. I chose it also because it gives a little bit of my life history. The media always gets it a bit wrong, but never mind, we live with that. I must apologize that part of the video, it has a very small screen. That's the way it came to us. So you may find that if you are very far at the back, you may not be able to see it. It's about 12 minutes, but I think it is a celebration. I think it is a celebration of science, of South Africa. And the people who attended those ceremonies, the ambassador in France accompanied me, which was very nice. My vice chancellor, of course, went. And many other ambassadors, South African ambassadors, came to this celebration. So it was a celebration of South Africa and its science. That's why I've chosen this particular video. So enjoy. I'm sad, but never mind. I think the light, I don't know whether we turned off the light a bit. Is it all right?
I think it should be fine, because it's dark here.
You may increase the volume a little bit. forecast is, the forecast is wrong. No?
As you just heard, the trees actually use the light that's coming out from the stars to tell us something about the life of these stars. Our last, but not least, laureate, Tibello, have actually utilized the light to deal with cancer cells. So she cleverly modified the kind of molecules that exist in plants, for example, but modified them such that a cancer cell can acquire these molecules, and when she uses light on these tumors, she can bleach them. And that's called photo for light therapy. And the impact already has been demonstrated in the laboratory, and the potential is there for many other developments. For this clear...
Le portrait du professeur Nyoko par Marie d'Entre
Longue. I was born in Lesotho. My father was South African. My mother was from Lesotho. I went and stayed with my grandmother, who was a farm worker. Then I started to go to school on one day, and on the next day I then look after sheep. When you are a shepherd, you got to survive in the field. To an ordinary person, all sheep look the same or all cows look the same, not to you. Each one of them has a name. So you develop a bond with the animal. What gave me strength? I was fortunate with my father. Simple. And constantly, my father said, you can do anything. Don't ever stop. So coming from a father, it's very important. He believed very strongly that the system in South Africa will be beaten by education. For me, the most difficult choice was when I went to do my master's and leaving my children behind. I think the bond between a mother and children is stronger than any other bond. I fell in love with chemistry. I love getting into the lab, doing physics experiments. We also had to do biology and grow plants, and I love that.
Yeah.
This is very interesting. The mouthful of molecules I work with called phthalocyanin are used as dyes.
Yes.
The structure of this molecule was similar to the structure of the molecule you find in blood. So people began to think that why can't we use the same molecule for medical purposes? When we use the one that is from blood, it does not absorb light strongly. You've got to use large doses, which is not good for the patient.
No, it's not part of it.
Now, what we are doing is to make molecules that target cancer cells so that we don't destroy the whole body like chemotherapy. In research, it's hard work. You just need support. I never got that. And that's one thing I've vowed. Attitudes don't change. As a woman, I feel I'm continuously heterophile. But I felt that by doing excellent work, by promoting the women, students in particular, you empower them, you make them stand up.
Et voici la formidable professeure Nyokong. I can only dance in the car when it's driving. Don't ask me any other time. Thanks to UNESCO and L'Oreal for this award, but more importantly, thanks for supporting science across the continents and across cultures. Thanks to the jury for the hard work they did to select the today's winners. No one does this type of work alone. I dedicate this award to my students, past, present. I hope future will be worth it, but I will dedicate it to them. I would like to also thank my children for their support throughout. They are probably the only people who understand what I'm doing in my entire village. But I really thank them a lot, in particular my daughter, who really, without her, my sense of style would have been scaring. And thank you very much for that. And I would like to thank all my collaborators from all over the world, because no one is an island. No one does this kind of work alone. Some of them are here. I thank them all for their support. I thank Rhodes University, my university, which is small, but which is a brilliant and excellent university, and I'm proud to be associated with that university. I want to thank my South African government. We are a country coming out of the past, which was not very glamorous. I call us a country of balance. We balance the needs of the poor. We balance the needs of the rich, and there are some rich people. We also balance the needs of science and education. There are very few developing countries, particularly in Africa, who are trying to support research the way South Africa is. And my challenge here tonight is all to other African, I'm an African laureate, so you better listen to me. All African countries who are represented here, it's very important to contribute to scientific development. If we spend all our time worrying mainly about poverty, building a road from A to Z, which doesn't quite get from next village to the other, and not contributing to science, if we concentrate only on poverty, there is no way we are going to develop. We've got to invest in science. And I wish to say to UNESCO and L'Oreal, you probably have made an interesting mistake, because I'm going to use your award to do a lot of things. One of them is, I normally talk to high schools and parents and villages about promoting science. So I'm now going to definitely continue to say, allow your children to break things. Allow them to touch things. Allow them to repair what they have broken. And also in schools, to try to say to schools that they should try to make science relevant. And the idea that there are some courses that are still for boys and some are for girls, I am so totally against. And I will use this award throughout the continent to, well, I don't know how I'll get to the continent. I'll find a way. I'll get there. To the fellows today, I would like to say congratulations. you're probably feeling that I'm your role model. But you know, you've been role model, you didn't know it. You wake up one day, you realize that actually somebody else is admiring you. What I would like to say to you is that the road that you are taking is going to be a hard one. The road of academia, your papers are going to be rejected. And you're going to get such nasty comments from the reviewers. Use those nasty comments to build yourself. Comments are very important. And the fact that you're going to win many more awards, role model is a humble role model. What is a danger to women is often that lack of being humble to the rest of us. And finally, I would like to challenge my continent as Africa. We are endowed with natural resources. We export them to get quick cash. We need to use science to develop this, whether it's diamonds or gold, whatever we have as natural resources, to develop them so that we add value to them and we can develop our countries and we can stand up and stop being looked down upon. We should be proud of who we are. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You can, well, now we have to come here. Which one? B. Anyway, yes. Okay. It's there, just that I don't know which one to press. Ah, there we go. Anyway, yes, that was very rewarding experience we had there. What I'm just going to talk about very briefly is just where we are. What I have in front of me are the funders of my research. Of course, at the center is NRF. DST, of course, fits to all of this, in a sense. But the main funder is the NRF for my project. Can people at the back hear me? Okay. The main funder, of course, is the NRF, but all the others do contribute small amounts of money. And just to show you, I have a huge group, I'm afraid, very, very big. We are normally 30, five of them were overseas at this stage. Do I have a little pointer, I wonder? Okay. I will introduce you to some of them, not all of them, because there are many. This lady here is Gail. Gail is my personal assistant. Without Gail, I would actually not operate. This lady here is my permanent postdoc. These are very important. People who are there, I'm actually more talking to the NRF now, who are there year after year after year to show students what to do in the lab. I cannot be in the lab. But I struggled to find funding for her, but now Rose has decided to give her a permanent post, and I'm grateful for that. I will introduce you as we go on to each one of them. But the way I'm going to introduce them, my main project, of course, is on this cancer therapy, but there are satellite projects that I'm involved in. I won't talk about the projects themselves, but I just want to introduce the students and their interest. We have a project. We actually started with this project when we didn't have enough money. This is what I always tell my colleagues. If you don't have money, think. Think about the cheapest things you can do, which can give you products. This project is actually now going further. The students that are working with it now is Bongani, who is a PhD student from Limpopo, and Sam, who is from Johannesburg. Sam is such a brilliant young man that I've convinced Rhodes to employ him permanently as a lecturer. He really, really is driven, and that is very important. The whole idea is to develop little gadgets like this to be able to test water for pollutants and so on, and the project is funded by DST. Probably DST doesn't know it, and MinTech. The other project which this young man here, maybe you can't see very well at the back, he was in Germany and thought snow was novel, was very interested in renewable energy. He came to me and said, I want to sort out Johannesburg traffic problem, traffic lights, and rural area in terms of solar energy, improving them, you know, so that when it rains like this, you still have energy. So
He has been working on that. He's been to Germany twice, and there's a company now that is going to be working with us in developing this thing. So what I'm trying to say in this is that students have their own interests, and we do try to cater for those. My major project was this photodynamic therapy. You can see your DG here, and Russians watching on as I signed to commit myself. I had this big idea that I'm going to introduce this treatment all over South Africa to solve the skin problem that comes with HIV/AIDS. Because really, I think this treatment is the best way to go in terms of helping those people who have skin cancer. But, you know, the law works slower than I do. I think I will... Photodynamic therapy. It's really simply, if you have skin cancer, we put a drug on you, we put light, which we filter, and the rest takes care of itself. Our job as chemists is to develop those drugs that they don't go anywhere else but stay on the cancer. And that is what we have developed. The rest is going on from there. We signed all kinds of agreements, but things are going very slow. And then another student, for example, we are also involved in imaging cancer, being able to see where the cancer is. And this student here is from the Eastern Cape, Nolwazi. He's now going to go to Switzerland, because if we use chicks, you call them chicks when they are still in the egg. Mm-hmm. Yeah, chicks. We're going to learn how to do this and introduce it into South Africa. It's a way of testing your drugs rather than in rats, because rats, the laws are becoming stricter and stricter. So this is now acceptable, and it's not taken to be life. So we can test our drugs in this and check the imaging of cancer in there. Another project, I was approached by the Defense Force together with AMSCO. They are organized, let me tell you. They came, they've done all their homework. They said, we don't think we have a problem yet, but this year alone, there have been about 20 attempts at blinding the pilots as they land in the U.S., not here. I don't think this would work on a commercial airline, because you don't allow people, you know, unauthorized people on the tarmac. But for smaller airports, it's possible. And these lasers, very strong lasers, are now available freely in the internet. And so the danger is there. But I like the way the army said. They said, we don't have problems yet, but we want the skills in the country. Could you help us? And I thought that was good. That was forward thinking. And they said they want mainly night protection. We've been working on this now for a number of years, and if there's a project that can work, it is this project. I think we'll soon have a prototype for the army, I think within a year. Then they will decide maybe to produce it and market it, whatever. That is the part that I never quite understand how to do. My students, we all, it's very important, if you work with me as a PhD student, Okay. You have every Saturday morning, we have a medicine science club where grade 7 to grade 12 from local schools, they come and apart from doing medicine science for fun, they actually, this Sam, who is now going to be a lecturer, takes grade 10 to 12, literally helps them with math, real math, you know, training them. And most of these children go back to school now and then tell the others what they did, and they teach the others. And sometimes we do get the teachers coming. Is the teacher here? No, okay. This one doesn't have a teacher. But these are the children, as you can see. Really, when people ask me who my role models are, these children are my role models. Because whether it's raining or not, they will come on a Saturday morning. It's only the parents who will say, don't come to the funeral. But otherwise, they come. In the beginning, most of my students have always been women and black women in particular. In the beginning, we had NRF funds only. By only, I mean, in the 90s, it was, if you were rated, you see, you got 10,000 rands, which couldn't get you anywhere. It was not NRF, it was FRD. Then the system changed. I think we had open programs. I don't know what it was called. It changed, and it was competitive funding. And once we were able to attract I think the FRD then really did a very good thing by having this competitive funding. If your project is worth it, then you are given enough funding to do what you can, and we excelled from there, which was very useful. The number of students that have graduated, let me tell you, is like a year like this. These were all PhD students. You know, that's why I say I can't travel between November and December. Literally, I have to read this. These are some years are worse than others as well, maybe good, depending on where you're looking at, where you have five PhD. Most of the students have been PhD students that graduated. So I'll tell you where they are, most of them. You see here I'm saying 2009. It's just a graduation at Rhodes. These students would have completed 2008, but graduation is the following year in April. So that's why we have it like that. Most of the graduated students are black students, with very, very small portion that are white students. The female students were used to be more, but now males are gripping in. Mainly female students. South African students are the majority. Non-South Africans are fewer. I was at the University of Lesotho, and some of the students followed me from there. I made an obligation that I will carry those students, so that is why we get that. If you look at the graduated students by province in South Africa, mainly it's Eastern Cape, but a lot from Gauteng. You know, not all provinces are here. We need to get the Northern Cape here, don't we? Northwest. Okay. This is, you probably can't see it here. It's now, where are all these graduated students in the world? Unfortunately, two of them immigrated to Australia. And then one of them immigrated to the U.S. The other one, I think, is studying now. One got married in Germany but works there now. The rest are spread all over Africa. One is in France, majority in Lesotho, back in Lesotho. Just to show you a few faces, this is the one who is in Germany. This one lectures at Cape Peninsula University of Technology, Kaput. This one is in Sasol. This one is in Petro. This husband and wife were doing PhD with me, and they both immigrated to Australia. Many of them are employed all over. Petro SA, CSIR has three PhD students there. Mintec has three of my students, actually. Well, they are a lot. Sasol, a lot. I think we have four PhD students there. Unilever, one. Many of them are in academia, teaching in universities. The current students, lots of PhD students now, and very few MSCs at the moment. And publications, well, they really have increased a lot. Some years are a little bit crazy. 2009 looking like it's going to be crazy too, but they increase. One can say the increase is related to funding. Yes, it is. You will find that if you have enough funding, it's possible to increase this. But at the same time, one has to be careful. It's not just funding, it's also hard work. You know, if you get money and you don't work hard, I've seen people who get money and then they actually don't produce. And those NRF in fund, sorry. Collaborators, I must thank collaborators, and I must thank DST, NRF. It's mainly NRF, but I don't know how these bilateral agreements work, but they've transformed my life. They really transformed my life. Russia, it was directly DST. The problem with Russia is there's more partying than actually work. China is NRF. Japan, NRF. These have been absolutely wonderful. Germany, NRF. Switzerland, it was CSIR. France, Belgium, UK, it's all NRF. We don't have agreements with Canada, to my knowledge, or Chile, but we found our own funding to do this type of work. But I really want to really stress that this bilateral agreement may look like a waste of money, but they can transform research. They did for me. All my students must visit overseas. The main reason is that students always feel like it's better somewhere else. Or we are in Africa, it can't be good enough. They come back, they love their country. And that is the important thing. So the UK mainly have been there, France, Belgium, Switzerland, the student is only going in January. Germany, Japan, lots of students there, and Canada, lots of students there. We had an agreement with the U.S. The student was supposed to go, and then there were visa problems there. What is this? Origin of my students and postdoc. Lots of African students, of course, but we do get lots of other students, maybe short-term. Some of them are short-term, you'll see German students here. Some of them are long-term who come to study with us from all over the world. Some of them are postdocs, of course. Now, okay, this is conferences attended. So the titles are at the bottom there. Conferences. All my students must attend international conferences if I can afford to. So you can see a number of conferences in Africa, Australia, Japan, Russia, Greece. I took 5 to Russia last year. Greece, Czech Republic, Belgium. All my students must, at some stage, attend an international conference so that they can stand on their own, they make their own collaborators, they are able to fit into society when they are done. This is the team, again, lots of students were not here. These are the German students, that one is a little bit off, who came to my group, and people keep asking, why are you here for a year? And they say, we've come to learn. And it's so difficult for South Africans to actually understand somebody from Europe can come to learn in Africa. And this is what is happening. Our science is intense. Our science is up there. Thanks to funders like NRS and DST, our science is at a level where people come to us to actually learn new techniques. It's no longer the other way around. This was their supervisor, of course. Some of the students were not here. But this is Nkosi. This is the one who wants to solve the problems of crowding of cars in Johannesburg. And Sam is the one who is now going to be a lecturer at Rhodes. Rhodes finally understood what I'm saying about this young man. I just want to go through the pictures of some of the awards that we received. I thought this was the tallest man on earth. This is Baso, is it? The manager of ShopRite Checkers. Yeah, this is when we received the ShopRite Checkers Woman of the Year. I was not prepared for the media. I've never had so much media in my life. I actually needed help dealing with media. It's a full-time job. This was very honorable by President Mbeki, former President Mbeki, for the Order of Makungube. That was really much appreciated. Now, this is the most interesting. I became a celebrity because I was near this person. Does anybody know who that person is? If you watch 7 Dylan, I don't watch it because it's in Afrikaans, but that became more important. Also, you were with her. There must be something good about science. So I became a role model because I was near a real role model. Nolin, not as much because Nolin is English speaking. This is former President Mandela's assistant. And at the back there, this lady here is blind and but runs a program on SABC 1. During lunchtime. So that also was, wow, you were with her. I mean, even people like Mantela Wantela were not as important as that one. This is the L'Oreal Award, and I just pictured from there. Really, these photos hung at the airport in Paris for many, many months, about 3 months, and the French, L'Oreal and UNESCO asked South African airports, if they could tell me, Henry's photo, they said no. And of course, this is the last award that I got, and thank you very much. It was really an honor to receive this one. And that's all really I have to say. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, Professor. I don't know, you have shut my mouth. You see, that is what we have always been saying in the Portfolio Committee. I fortunately am the founder of this Portfolio Committee. It started in 2004. If you remember, it was before it was combined with Arts and Culture. It was under Minister Ngubane. So it was divided in 2004. Into science and technology standing alone. So we have promoted all of these kinds of vision in this committee. Actually, it's so interesting when I see what you have just said, because we have been always advocating that, you see, just with one powerful science professional and academic, you can generate more of such people, you can generate more of new products. So it takes one person to take people to the moon. And exactly this is what you have just shown, that it just takes one person. Look at how many people he has produced. Look at how much resources he has given to the world to develop even other nations. When we visited Sweden in 2006, they showed us Sweden, a population of only 9 million people, but they showed exactly what they're doing, how much in the world they are developing the world technologically, because they have dedicated them, their infrastructure, to technological development. And they have good support, finance support. From what you've just said, I think, therefore, NRF, and through NRF, NRF is part of the Department of Science and Technology, dedicated to exactly promote such endeavors. And I just wanted to, I am a member of Science and Society Forum of Japan. In Japan, they have said that there is one university in Japan, I think I have to link you up with that. There is only one university in Japan which is an international university. It's in Tokyo. The rector also attends this. There is only this yearly forum. Okay. Now, that for that university, they said they would like to have a university or person making or students from South Africa, at least to have this diversity of students, because Japanese students do not want to move out, you see. So that's one offer. Another offer that was made, which we have not used, was also from Sweden. We visited Sweden in 2006. Sweden has problems of research. Students don't want to do research in Sweden. They want to work and have cars and have all the good material. So they have now developed a program of inviting any student from anywhere in the world, and they fund the student. They say, for us, it's only to fit the student there, but they will fund everything. So that is one of good collaborative research that you can do with the Swedes. The School of Technology in particular there. And then we've got also Taiwan. They are having a very developed center for chemotherapy. One professor woman who is reading that, actually, she has also been, in 2006 also, she published on Nature, one of the things that she has developed. So these are some of collaborative things, but when we finish here, we can also discuss that. But that's very, very, very thankful for what you have given us here. I'll allow the members to interact with you. They usually like to interact with a guest of this committee before you leave. Honorable members, Professor Nyokong is here. If you have anything to say to her.
Person, it feels good to be seated in a place where some people are seated. But in the input here, I was left with some gaps. I would have loved to know where she studied, her junior degree, and you know, so that we can encourage our daughters to follow in her footsteps.
Professor? Actually, very briefly, I've had a very funny life. Because of the situation in South Africa, my parents were in Lesotho. They left Sharpeville and were in Lesotho. So I studied primary school in Lesotho. since I was a shepherd with my grandparents there. Then I did primary school in Lesotho, at a church school in Lesotho. Then I went to high school. This is the funny thing. I spent 3 years in high school not doing sciences at all. We had two streams. One was science and one was arts. And I wasn't doing sciences. Like when I was left with 2 years, like grade 11 and 12, I switched to science. A very crazy move. I just realized it's again peer pressure. Science is hard. Don't do it. I listened to that. I didn't do sciences for 3 years. I mean, then only the last 2 years, I did sciences. I found I couldn't actually do the arts. I was just impatient. When I was asked to write an essay for 10 pages, I could do it in five. Not five, I could do it in half a page. I never understood the round and round story that happened. So that was the issue. Then I went to University of Lesotho, where I think my father passed away by that time. I had to spend a year actually to support my younger sister so they can also finish high school. So all this balance of things that we have to do, I had to stop a year, work, so my sister can also finish school so that we can support the family. So there are gaps like that had to happen. Then I went to university.